Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
M.H. Scott, and folks, I got it. I've been gone for a minute, but guess what? The action has not stopped, nor has the fire went out. In other words, I'm back. It's hot. I got some things I need to share with you. I got some conversation I want to bring up. So maybe you just want to join in on this conversation. If you want to join in on this conversation today with us here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network, you can always reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Because we're going to talk about AAU and referee officiating. Because I've seen too many articles pop up in the media this week based around that conversation, AAU and officiating. Now, of course, you're going to have some disgruntled folks that don't like what's going on, but I think there's more to it. I think I need to hear the other side of the story. Because I can always say, hey, if you don't like how the official is officiating the game, pick up your ball and go home. Find somewhere else to play. That's all. But, nah, I think we need to hear the other side of the story. I think we really and truly need to hear the other side of the story. But you know, folks, I don't get this show up and popping without first bringing in my man, Mr. Keith Wright, who put this nice little piece together for us called The College Experience. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
You know, I love it each and every time listening to my boy Keith saying he's making smart cool. That's how he do. He's making smart cool. Well, I guess that's what you have to stand on when you're a graduate from the University of Harvard. You're making smart cool. You're doing your thing to the fullest. Again, we're talking about this thing, referee and officiating. Referee and officiating. Want to join the conversation? 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Easy. You know, as I think about this particular conversation, a lot of things come to mind. And I go back and I recall during the time period that I actually carried a whistle. I actually had a whistle around my neck. I was striped up. And I started officiating, got into it, was enjoying it. And there was some interesting things happening during the time that I was officiating. You know, you got some parents that may get hot with you. Then you got some parents that, you know, just out there just to heckle. And then you got some parents that just go to the extreme with some altogether different type stuff. I actually had a parent during the time that I was, a mom or some lady. During the time I was officiating the game, was watching my butt while I was running up and down the court. Come on, sister. I'm out here trying to officiate this game. I'm trying to do the best I can do for these children to make sure they understand the game, the rules and the regulations of the game, and at the same time, keeping these coaches in check. So that I did not need. But it happened. Along with that, you got some hecklers on the sideline. You know, folks asking you questions. Do you wear glasses? And all this old foolishness. And what are you looking at? What did you see? You know, all kinds of stuff. But all in all, I think officiating is that special, special, special type of sport. And I'll actually classify it as a sport because you have to be in some shape. You have to be have some type of athletic ability and skill or something to be able to run up and down the court, maintain the play, hand and arm signal, the whole works just like you'd play in any other sport. Officiating, you got to have a certain skill, oftentimes folks refer to as tough skin. You got to have it, folks. You got to have it because they're coming at you from all directions. They're coming at you from the stands, the bleachers, whatever, to the coaches on the sideline, to the wannabe coaches, to even in some cases, players that think they know more than you know. How do you handle all that? How do you juggle all that? Let me give you the life of an official, because I made it all the way to doing some junior college. And I think had I stuck with it, because I did that all in about 3-year time period. But I think had I stuck with it, I probably would have went beyond that point, because my last game, although it was probably the worst game I had ever called, was a championship game, high school championship game. And I'm going to just stop right there at that game because that game is like a thorn in my side, and I don't even want to give out any additional information about that game because I was so off in that game. That's one of those times where, you know, I could have heard, hey, you sorry, blank, 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 blank. You messed up the game for my team. Meet me in the park. I probably could have heard some of that foolishness. But I didn't. And I thank God that I didn't. And as a result, I went on to continue officiating. Went back and reinvented myself in the game, tightened up on my mechanics, tightened up on my calling the game, understand the flow of the game and how I, along with my partner, controlled that flow of the game. And that's always a good thing. When you have a partner that you're familiar with work, that the two of you click to the point of you're familiar with each other's style or how the game flows. When you have that, Oh, man, it makes for a great game. And if you notice, when you have situations like that, you have very few times that you have a hostile crowd. But what I've also learned, in every audience, every crowd, every gym, on every field, someone is not going to like that call. That's not my problem. I'm sorry. That's not my problem. So if you don't like the call, well, hey, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. We'll get through it. And at the end of the day, the kids will get something out of it. And it'll be just fine. But until then, the game will continue to go. The ball will be thrown. The ball will be bounced. The ball will be kicked, whatever the case is. The game will continue to go on. So, you know, officials have to be able to work together. And the first thing that they want to try to do is make sure that they establish a good understanding of what their position and what their responsibility and what their jobs and what their duty is going to be out there on the court or on the field. They established that with the coaches and the players. The last person that they are concerned with, sorry to say, parents, are the parents. But if they're out there doing their job, they're putting the most into what they're capable of doing, then you're going to be okay as well. You're going to understand what they're doing, and as a result, have no problem with what they're doing. That's just the way that that's going to flow. See, officiating is an art. And I'm not saying all this to build up officials or anything of that nature, but officiating is an art. I used to work on understanding the rules and work on my mechanics and made sure I stayed fit to the point of I wanted to make sure I was on top of that play prior to that play even getting started. I'm in position. I got the right angle. I could see if there's any contact between the two opponents. The whole works. I'm not coming up behind the play and think that I seen something because the athlete fell down. No, I'm in the position where I can see if there is any contact. That was just me. But any other official that I came in contact with or that I work with, I let him know, hey, this is what we need to do, man, to keep everybody off our back. When it's time for you to go, you got to go. Get down there, get in a position, and wait for the play to come to you. As the play comes to you, watch it unfold. Or you watch it develop, you watch it unfold, and see if it's a clean finish. If not, then you have to blow your whistle based on what you've seen. Based on what you've seen. Now, if you blew your whistle based on what you've seen and your call wasn't quite right, may have been a charge, or you may have called a block, or it may have been a travel, you may have called a travel, and in all actuality, it may have just been a jump ball due to you had two hands on the ball at that particular time, then we'll quickly get together and make sure that we resolve that. But I also let my partner know, I'm not going to overshadow your calls. I'm going to support the call that you made. And if I need to mention it to you later on, then I'll mention it to you later on. And we'll keep on moving. But I'm not out there to make you look bad. I'm not out there to overstep any of the calls that you make. But I also tell my partner, you need to be able to sell that call. From the time that you start putting air into that whistle, you need to be certain that you're going to be able to sell this call to everybody. Everybody from when you report it to the table, to the coaches on both sidelines, to the folks up in the stands that's watching. And if the game is televised, you want to make sure definitely you're going to sell it to them. But if it's televised most of the time, they don't even show the officials on the screen or what call he's making. That, to me, would help them better their game. Because now they have a national audience. Now they actually have some footage so they can see what they did or what they didn't do. Now they can perfect their craft as an official, whether or not it's football, you know, because most of the time when the official's making the call, not less is, you know, on TV, college ball, college football, professional football, you'll see the camera focus in on the official when the official's making that call, because he's making the call to the television audience. He's selling that call to the television audience. Basketball officials, you get off the hook. You get off the hook. The camera swings to everything else. It throws up some replays. It goes to, if they're shooting fouls, the guys or the girls lining up on the free throw line, and then the official come back through and administering the free throw, it lets you off the hook as far as your mechanics. Your mechanics being displayed. Oh, well, fine and dandy. But I think it would help. I think it would help. All actuality, I think there should be a officiating show, podcast, something, talking about different calls and why those calls are made. And if they can do it with some visual effects, where you actually have a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning show with some visual effects running off of one of these major sports networks and talking about why is this a travel or why is this, you know, not a touchdown? Why some, you know, how did you notice that the individual stepped out of bounds? What gave you the indication? How did you know that the ball was grounded? And he trapped the ball in between the ground and his body, and it wasn't a good catch. All these things could be done on the show. But say, I said today I'm going to talk about AAU and officiating. Well, as you know, the AAU circuit over the years have become massively involved in finance. It is driven, absolutely, positively, without a doubt, driven by the dollar. Folks get involved in the AAU programs. Sad to say, some get involved as early as 3 and 4 years old, and third or fourth grade, fifth and sixth grade, get involved in the programs. And some people will actually sell the point or convince themselves that their children need to be involved that early in the game. And then if it doesn't go right for them, I'm going to come back on you, parents. It doesn't go right for them. What they try to do at that point, they try to say, okay, well, we're going to reclass. I'm going to reclass my son because, you know, he needs another year to develop. Okay, yeah, now he's looking bigger, faster, and stronger because now he's playing with kids that's a year or 2 years younger than him. I'm hoping that he will look bigger, faster, and stronger. because now he's playing with younger kids. But see, that's a bad illusion, because later on in life, if he makes it to the college setting, or even when he makes it into high school, everyone there ain't going to be younger than him. There's going to be some ones that will be able to challenge him that is of his age, all the way through till high school seniors. And we're not even going to talk about college, because when you step into college, you can go from a full-grown man, 26, 27 years old, out there on the court alongside a 18, 19, 20-year-old. So it is what it is once you get to the college team. And if your game hasn't turned that corner, oh, trust and believe, your child will be exposed. But you want to avoid that. You want to avoid that. So, as we look at this AAU thing and officiating, of course, it is driven by funds. So every time a coach brings his program to an event, know that he expect to win as much as possible. He's not coming there just to say, okay, hey, this is a couple tune-up games. We're gonna work on some things, and we're gonna get through this weekend. And if we lose a couple, hey, we learned some lessons and we all good. No, that's not why that coach is there. That coach is looking for being able to collect as many W's as possible over that 2 or 3 day weekend, or that 2 or 3 day tournament. That's not, because why? Because first of all, some folks have invested some money in that situation. Parents may have paid $400, $500, $600, $700, $800 to have their child on this team. May have paid some additional funds to get their child into this tournament. Not to mention all the pretty bags and uniforms and all the other things that they have going on. That's all extra. So all in all, they may have invested a couple G's, if not more, to have their child involved in this program. So they expect the best officiating possible. Referees, I need you to hear this. Understand this. You have to know, when you walk into that gym and you are officiating a referee, you are officiating a AAU program. I don't care if it's just the basic AAU program, the lower level, the Division I level, the elite level, the NBA level, the NCAA level, whatever. Know that parents and coaches have invested not only their time, but quite a bit of money into this team. So please understand this. I need you to bring your best game to the court. When you step on that floor and get ready to administer that jump ball, trust and believe, all eyes are on you. If you are lazy getting up and down the court, oh, that will be noted. That will be noted. If you're there just to collect a paycheck, that will be noted. If you're there to entertain the folks on the sideline, that will be noted. And if it's noted, that should be your last game. Not sounding harsh, I'm being very real about this. Folks, you want to join on this conversation? 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. You want to join in on this conversation as we're talking about our AAU program and and the officiating. Referees, you got to come there in shape, fellas. Young ladies, you got to be in shape. You got to be able to get down the court and be ahead of the play and allow the play to come to you. Watch the play as it starts to develop. Watch the play as it unfolds. Watch the play as it finishes. If somewhere along the line, during the part of the development, as it starts to unfold, and as it while it's getting ready to finish, you notice something, your mechanics should go into action. And you know what I'm talking about. You're watching the play. You're understanding that, okay, so-and-so didn't beat him to that spot. The opponent is getting ready to finish. He's leading with his right hand, laying the ball up. As he finishes that movement, there is contact. Boom! We got a foul. He finishes, boom, count it, and one. That's it. That's it. But you're able to do that, getting ahead of the play, seeing it as it develops, unfolds, and finishes. You can't do that if you're talking to folks on the sideline. You can't do that if you can't run down the court. You can't do that if you're out of position. You can't do that if you're flat foot and out of shape. Come on now. You're giving officials a bad name. Because somebody in that crowd or on that sideline is going to question that. Now, all depends on how the game is unfolding in the tempo of the game. Some coaches may even question it anyway, just to see if you're going to pull back. No. Mm-mm. You have to be able to sell that call. Sell that call. That's not an optional thing. You sell that call, you keep on moving. You tune out everybody around you. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, you got to have that magical thing called thick skin. Sell that call, you keep on moving. Your partner will let you know if he thought you was out of place, but he shouldn't come running from the other side to change your call, especially if he was out of position. That just killed your credibility. That killed your credibility. If he comes from running from the other side to change your call, or y'all get together and talk, and then all of a sudden you decide you're going to make another call. Mm-mm. Your credibility is shot. And when your credibility is shot like that, guess what? Every time you blow the whistle thereafter, it's going to be questioned. It may not be questioned out loud, but it's going to be questioned. So we got to avoid that. But you got to be ahead of the play, official. Have to be ahead of the play. Next thing, you have to be in position to make the call. Come on now. Like I said, I officiated a few minutes ago, and I understand if the play is coming towards me, that's my call. I'm at an angle where I can see in between the defender and the opponent. I can see that because I done positioned myself to a point where I can now see if there's any body contact. I can now see if he got there to that spot before the defender. I can now see if there's anything happening that shouldn't. But you have to remember that too. You have to be in the right position. You have to be in the right position. On another note, if it's not your call, you should be doing what they call it, off ball. You're not watching the ball on every play. So you wouldn't even never seen if your partner did the wrong thing if you're not watching the ball. Because you got, what? How many? 8 other players out there that you're trying to keep an eye on. Because if your player is watching the one with the ball and whoever is defending that individual, you're trying to watch the other 8. And based upon your angles, whatever's to your front and whatever to your left or to your right or to wherever side. Folks, parents, coaches, sideline people, if them referees are out there on the floor and they are not placing those children in between an angle of 90 degrees, and what I mean by that is as the referee is standing in his position, if he extends his left arm straight out, he extends his right arm straight to the front and his left arm straight out to the left side, then they should be able to place them athletes in a 90 degree angle. That's their observation. They can't sit there and pretend like they're trying to cover these athletes and they have no way of listening or seeing what's going on with them because they're out of position. True. And I wish I would have an official. If you know of an official and you want to get him to join the conversation, have him give us a call. 516-453-9932. Folks, you know what? We're going to step away for a hot second because I think I know some officials that may want to join this conversation. I'm going to try to reach out to them because I think I need someone from that perspective to join this conversation because you're getting it from me and you may say, well, he's not officiating no more, but that's all right. So we're going to step away. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Called the Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Called the Parents Network.
Just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott. It's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
Hey there, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott. This is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael, George Johnson again with the NBPA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA. You left...
Hey, Mike, this is John Belant, the head coach at West Virginia. Trying to get in touch with you here, so I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at home.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Dave Lake, calling. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your fax.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all's going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Sorry about audio. I was actually just...
Mr. Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just want to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand.
Mr. Scott, how are you? This is Dave Leto calling from Virginia. Hope all is well. Just trying to touch base.
This is Coach Jim. I have just gotten some disturbing news from some of the coaches that have been involved with.
Guys, athletes, scholarship, mentors. And elevate parents, coaching parents, networks, and know the game.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Guys, athletes, scholarship, mentors, and elevate parents, coaching parents, and know the game.
Well, folks, like we were saying, you know, I reached out to a friend of mine. Hopefully he's going to be able to join in on these last few minutes as we're talking about officiating. But parents, one thing that I want to share with you. We're not perfect. Anyone that's out there blowing that whistle is not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. They may make a few mistakes. If you're playing in a recreational league, please note that the officials that you may have out there on the floor is learning the game just as you are, or just as your child is learning the game. So is that something or a reason for you to become hostile and jump up and down and yell and scream and go out on the floor? Because see, first of all, when you step out on the floor, what are you really doing? You're going to get your point across. You're going to be seen by everybody. In today's society, you may be seen by more people than you want to be seen by, because you know it's going to become a video. And if you get out there and look foolish and make a total fool of yourself, it may become a very embarrassing video. On top of all that, think about it. Your child is watching. Your child may even be part of that game. Your child may get to the point where he or she is now trying to convince you, mom, dad, please leave the court. Please get off the court. Trying to pull you off the court. That's an embarrassment to your child. And in today's society, peer pressure is, woo! It's a terrible thing. It is a terrible thing. It is a thing that puts pressure on our children to a degree unrecognizable degree of pressure. And we all want to help our children avoid anything of that nature. I know you do, because I want to help mine, and I want to help yours. So please, please, please understand that that child has feelings. That child will be just as embarrassed as you're trying to make that official when you're over there in his face, yelling and screaming, walking up and down the sideline, trying to get his attention or her attention. Your child's feeling that same pressure. Your child's feeling that same pressure. But what I also want you to realize, now we got to talk about playing at the different levels. If your child is playing at a high school level, freshman through 17U, if your child's playing at that level and there's a slight possibility that there are some coaches or recruiting coaches gym while you're doing all this, that just lessens your child's chances of securing a scholarship, because that word will get out like pouring water down a drain, and there's no end. There's no faucet on the other end, or no pipe on the other end. That word will get out as fast as you can possibly think. Before you even leave the gym, or before that coach even leaves the gym, you are out there. And if there is some video footage, that coach is not only looking at it, that head coach is not only looking at it, but there are others in that conference that is probably looking at it as well. Coaches have other coaches as friends. I know they compete against each other, but some of them are also friends and very close associates. You don't think they're going to share that information? Hey, man, you want to stay away from so-and-so and so-and-so. I was up in Maryland the other day. I was attending such and such event, and it was just a sad scene. She put on a spectacle, or he put on a spectacle, or he assaulted the coach from such and such and such and such. Really? Do you want to mess up your child's chances based on some foolishness like that? Please tell me that you don't. Please tell me. 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. You know, I decided to drop into this conversation today based upon, like I said, some articles and videos that I've seen over the last few days, this week, where you had a mom that, and I don't know, it may have been a TikTok challenge, or it may have been just something somebody put up on TikTok to see if they could get some views or whatever, I don't know, trying to build up their celebrity status or whatever, but it wasn't a good scene, because you had a mom out there approaching an official, and her child was trying to get her off the floor, and she kept pulling away, going back at towards the official. First of all, when you bumped up against him, that's an assault. That's a felony. Did you do it in the intent to try to harm him? No, but you bumped up against him. You touched him. That's a charge, if you understand that. A felony. And all depends on what you were saying during that time period. Well, no, excuse me. Let me back up. When you touched them, that's assault and battery. All depends on what you were saying during that time period. Some of those words could have been assault. I'm going to punch you in your FF face. Really? That's assault. You threat to commit bodily harm against me. That's an assault. Nah, he probably didn't take it that way. He kept looking off into the distance as to say, okay, is somebody going to come get this lady or what? But all actuality, that alone and being posted up on TikTok, if it was real, guess what? You can't get away from that. It's all there. It's all clear. And if you did it clowningly or just for some entertainment on a social media platform, you may want to rethink your entertainment. I don't think there's a whole lot of money being paid for that type of social media presence. Because in all actuality, at the end of the day, if it was real, now we got evidence. Now there is evidence out there of this assault. Then it went on to another article I came across was a known D1 official. Now, here's something about this is, was kind of puzzling for me. But I wish I had a couple of y'all chimed in on this conversation because I needed your input on this one here. A known D1 official is out there officiating a game. I guess he's trying to get his son into officiating. Now here's the puzzling part. He states his son is 15 years old. Now, he's officiating a level which is approximately around his same age, 13, 14, 15. Me personally, as a coach, I have a problem with that. Me personally, as a tournament director, I have a problem with that. Because you're not giving me a quality official. I don't care who's on the other side of the court of him, his dad being a D1 official. Because at some point in time, that young man is going to have to make a call. And all his calls not going to be based upon you running over and telling him, Dad, no. This is what we got. Because I'm paying two people for a service. And if they work in three man, I'm paying three people for a service. So you can't hide a 15-year-old out there on the court with 14 and 15-year-old kids. And he's officiating. And I'm paying him to officiate. Because for whatever reason, if I needed to pull you as a veteran and send you over to another court because now all of a sudden we're short, I need to be able to say and know with confidence that this young man at 15 years old, will be able to handle this game. And I can't say that knowing that if he hasn't played the game or even have a really good clue of the game and you're still trying to work on some basics with him, I'm just giving away money as a tournament director. I'm just giving away money. And as a result, as a coach, I would be kind of upset about that. Now, if you brought that to my attention up front early on, and I had a clue of what you was trying to do, okay, I may try to work with you. But if I'm clueless and you trying to slide this in because you trying to groom your son up to be a high school or later on a college official, I got a little problem with that. Especially if I'm at a tournament. Once again, folks, I told you, these coaches are paying money and these teams are paying money to attend these events to try to collect W's. They're not coming there just for a tune-ups or just for a showcase. They're coming there with the intent of this is going to propel them onto the next stage they're trying to get to. This is the month of May. All of the tournaments that you attend this month, which something happening every weekend. Even next can probably be the biggest weekend. Stuff will probably start on early Friday and roll all the way through until Sunday and Monday. And it's all with the intent of trying to get their placement for later on down the line in July. So I need the officials out there to have their A game on. If you come out there just to collect the check, or you come out there just to get your son brushed up, send him down to the rec league. And you walk alongside of him at the rec league. Or send him to some intramural games. You walk alongside him at an intramural game, shadowing him to make sure that he's in position. Make sure that his mechanics is correct. Make sure that he understands what off-ball means. Make sure he's getting down court at a timely manner. Making sure that the play is not getting ahead of him. Don't bring him into no AU tournament thinking that you're going to slide him through and he's going to collect a nice little check for covering the weekend. Because I'm quite sure he's going to get paid quite nicely. If he covered the weekend, the entire weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'd be willing to bet he probably did 3 games each day at a minimum. I'm going to say a minimum of about $25 a game. Minimum at about $25 a game. $75 a day. 75 times 3. We all can do the math. That's easy. About 225. Somewhere around there. 75 and 75 is 150. You add another 75 onto that, that's 225. For what? For 9 games? That ain't bad. But that's a minimum. Minimum. That could be even more. We could be talking either easy, $300-$400. Easy. But if you out there and you getting paid for that, calling those games, your game has to be on par. If it's an AAU circuit, then your game has to be on par. Your dad probably could have been best. Young man, I'm talking to you. Your dad probably could have been best serving you by allowing you and your friend to call the game and somebody running alongside shadowing him. Not being on the other side of the court of him. Being on the same side with him, shadowing him throughout the play or coaching him at the end of each quarter. That probably would have been the best bet. But just to totally disregard that and stick him out there on the court and you on one side, he on the other side, I'm paying 2 people for one person actually doing the job. No, that ain't working. But coach, you have to be able to recognize that too. When you see that, you have to understand what you're about to get. And if you had a problem with it, you should have acknowledged that up front and addressed it before the tip off. Addressed it before the tip off. And allow someone to come and tell you, hey, okay, this is what we're going to get. We understand that he's new at this, whatever. Either you can play or don't play. You keep on moving. So that was the second incident. The third incident was a post that I read on the AAU fan page on Facebook. And this post basically gave some information. Let me see if I can find this particular post, because I want to read it to you, because I think it has something in it that may catch your attention. Yeah, I think I got it right here. It says, these referees are legendary, legendarily horrible. It's a shame. Some of us coaches try our best to go above and beyond to make this AAU experience all worth it. You can tell, and talking about this particular official, you can tell he was only there for the money. The guy was talking to the fans more than calling the game. Then, when he felt like refereeing, and I'm not sure how he spelled refereeing, when he felt like refereeing, he called all bogus calls and was the loudest person on the floor, shaking my head. Well, I addressed that earlier on and talked about how officials got to be able to be prepared for what they're about to take on, especially whether or not you're stepping into a program where somebody has identified as an AAU program. I don't care what level you may think it is, whether or not it's the bottom of the barrel, whether or not it's the elite level. You got to be ready. And if you're ready, then you go out there and give your best performance and keep on moving. Now, I would have loved to see why this person or why this coach decided to say legendarily horrible. I'm not sure if legendary. I don't know if this guy has called games for them before. He has seen this guy in action before. And if that's the case, that should have been a forewarning that what you're about to get. And then go from there. Go from there. But to just say, you know, legendarily horrible, you must have seen him play before. You must have seen him call a game before. So, folks, I'm going to close out on this note. Stay with us here on the Parents Culture Parents Network. You can also now find us on Fanbase at PCP Network, Instagram and Twitter as well on PCP Network. You can find us here, of course, on Blog Talk Radio, Parents Culture Parents Network, and on Facebook at Parents Culture Parents Network. We're going to be coming out with some more information as this basketball season, AAU basketball season, unfolds and goes into the highlight of the season as well as the start of our high school football conditioning. Folks, this is M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Culture Parents Network. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. And hey, as you all know, you're listening to the number one sports parent podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region, the Parents Culture Parents Network. Holla at us. Get back to us.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Culture Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Culture Parents Network.